Hey, what's up, guys? John here with the CEO of Kellogg, Chipotle, and McDonald's said comes next, alongside President Donald Trump and Ray Dalio making similar claims. It's something that's going to change America forever. Chipotle CEO said that they're going to raise menu prices between 1% and 2%, targeting higher income, digitally native demographics, citing 60% of their core customers earn $100,000 a year or more.
We learned that 60% of our core users are over $100,000 a year in income, in average household income. That gives us confidence that we can lean into that group in a more meaningful way, whether it's the solo occasion and or group occasions, to really drive meaningful transaction performance in the year.
Now, 100 grand a year, five, six, 7 years ago, was considered you made it. You know, you were at a place where people are going to ask you for life advice. Now you are a target consumer for a fast food chain. McDonald's. They said the same thing, that it's a two-tiered economy and that high-income consumers, those making 100 grand, are feeling secure driving traffic growth, whereas lower-income households are experiencing financial strain. And then you have, of course, Kellogg's CEO, everyone remembers what he said, that you have to eat cereal for dinner to save money, saying it would only cost you a dollar for cereal and milk. It's the cheaper alternative for most Americans.
Some of the things that we're doing is first messaging. We got to reach the consumer where they are. So we're advertising about cereal for dinner. If you think about the cost of cereal for a family versus what they might otherwise do, that's going to be much more affordable.
So when you have this shift unfolding in the economy and President Donald Trump stating that this shift is only going to continue to grow, Trump predicting 100K on the Dow by the time he leaves office. So from now until 2029, the Dow, he claims, is going to go from 50,000 to 100,000. Most people that own stocks are on the top 10% of the financial chain, right? The top 10% of the financial pyramid are those that own the stocks, not the bottom 90%. The bottom 90% are paycheck to paycheck. They're making minimum payments on their credit cards. They're struggling, right? And so when you start to look at where we're heading as a society, where we are right now, it's pretty clear that you need to own assets the next 5 years. If you don't own assets, someone else's assets will own you. Now, here he claims that President Donald Trump on Sunday said he was predicting the Dow Jones Industrial Average to reach 100,000 by the time he leaves office in January 2029. This comes after the Dow Jones passed 50,000 on Friday the first time. Record stock market, national security, driven by great tariffs. I'm predicting 100,000 on the Dow by the time I end my term. Remember, Trump was right about everything. I hope the United States Supreme Court is watching, he added. The president's comment about the Supreme Court comes as a high-profile case over the legality of the tariff authority is expected to be decided. Supreme Court heard the arguments. Now, if you have this massive wealth transfer unfold as he's claiming, you just imagine what this is going to mean for the bottom 90%. President Donald Trump has nominated former chair or Fed Governor Kevin Walsh to replace Jerome Powell as Federal Reserve Chair, aiming for regime change to aggressively lower interest rates and boost economic growth, nominated by January 2026 to take over in May. Walsh is expecting to align with the administration's demand for lower mortgage and business rates. So lower interest rates, he's claiming the Dow is going to double. CEO of McDonald's, CEO of Chipotle, CEO of Kellogg's, all saying that the bottom 90% are in trouble, and they want only to really focus on the $100,000 a year earner, because those are the ones that are keeping the lights on. So you see this shift unfolding. Breaking Fed set for a major liquidity injection tomorrow. The Federal Reserve will inject $8.3 billion into markets tomorrow at 9 a.m., marking the largest single operation within its $53.5 billion liquidity plan. So this happened today. It's almost 600,000 views. Now, Ray Dalio, the former CEO of Bridgewater & Associates, this is the largest private equity firm in the world, 2013, he's saying,
and a lot of printing of money, that drives that into other assets. They may not be another currency if there's not a good currency. They may be stocks, they may be gold, and they may be another currency. But it is that kind of time that we're in. So next year and the year after, no matter what, we're going to have large deficits. We are going to produce a lot of debt, and we will monetize that debt.
Inflating the debt away. They're going to inflate debt away. So what do smart Americans do? Wealthy Americans, people with a great business or a great income, they're going to use their money as down payments, and they're going to buy assets that are going to produce income. They're going to buy things that are going to hold value, right? That's what they're going to do, especially when they're continuing to talk about here, February 2026, current status of a $2,000 stimulus check. As of early February 2026, discussions surrounding potential $2,000 tariff dividend check proposed. I love how that's almost normalized now. If someone were to tell you 5-6 years ago they would be doing inflation relief checks and tariff dividend checks, you would say, there's no way, not in America, that's not happening. I believe that all of this is, I think, you know, in 2020 with the stimulus checks, that was the beginning, and it's going to continue to move in that direction. It would not surprise me the next 5 to 10 years for a universal basic income, because you're going to have the bottom 90% that will not have an option, right? They won't have an option. That's why I'm a big bettor on Section 8. I bet big that Section 8 is going to continue to grow. Financial services will continue to grow. Social services will continue to grow because they don't really have an alternative. Here, in January 2026, the Trump administration directed government-sponsored Fannie and Freddie to purchase $200 billion in mortgage-backed securities to lower mortgage rates, increase home affordability. This aims to boost bond production and reduce interest rates, potentially providing a boost to the housing market. Now, most people that are renting right now, they're renting, you know, it makes more sense financially in most markets to rent. But a lot of people are renting because they don't have the funds for the down payment, and it doesn't make sense to buy a property if you could rent for less, right? In many markets, you can rent for less. But when you are someone that has access to liquidity, you have assets, you might not be thinking of it that way. You might be thinking of it as, I have $1 million and I need to park this somewhere to preserve it. I need to, you know, buy rentals, I need to buy multifamily, I need to buy something that's gonna be worth more than the value of this dollar today, 10, 15 years from now, 5 years from now, right? And they're gonna continue to buy. And so if they push mortgage rates down, you're gonna see a wave of people refinancing, especially on the back of all this information. Trump, he signed that $1.2 trillion funding bill to end the shutdown and fund DHS for 2 weeks. That was only a week ago. President Donald Trump signed a $1.2 trillion funding package into law Tuesday afternoon, just hours after the House approved the bill, ending a brief partial government shutdown that began early Saturday morning. I'm thrilled to sign Consolidated Appropriations Act to immediately reopen the federal government, signing the bill in the Oval Office. Now, what I find fascinating is the radical shift inside of America, inside of the dollar, inside of really our reserve currency. We're walking into a scenario and a situation where it wouldn't surprise me to see other countries continue to de-dollarize. Why wouldn't they? If you look at the decisions that America has made the last 5-7 years, how we weaponized the dollar, the amount of money that we're printing, you would probably take some chips off the table if you were, you know, Japan or if you were another country. Dollar is its worst day since April after Trump says he's not concerned with recent slide. The value of the U.S. currency, which directly affects consumers, hits weakest level since 2022. The value of the U.S. dollar plunged Tuesday after President Donald Trump said he was not concerned about the currency's recent drop. I think it's great. Speaking to reporters in Iowa, when asked the dollar value had declined too much, the dollar is doing great. Now, what I find fascinating is going to be the housing market. You know, I think in 2008, you had these radical boom and bust markets like Florida and Las Vegas. I believe that what we're going to start to see is we're going to see some really, really big banks. Their foreclosures are going to probably be different than they were in the past. In the past, 2008, it was all over every media channel. Everyone was talking as if it was the end of the world financially for, you know, big banks and large corporations with all those bailouts. This time, I think that a lot of these big banks are just going to sell a lot of their defaulted debt to private equity firms. It's going to be a very quiet wealth transfer. It's going to happen behind the scenes. And as that's happening, you're going to see a lot of really wealthy people with assets. They're going to see, you know, they might have $500K, $1 million in equity in a property and say, you know what, I'm going to borrow against it. I'm going to buy more assets. So it's going to be this chase for assets. Large corporations and institutions will have their, you know, pick of the litter on buying blocks of this, you know, non-performing debt. And then you're going to have a lot of really wealthy people borrowing to acquire more and more and more properties. Now, one of the reasons I think they're going to be really going for single family homes is right here. It says they're suggesting an average price between 3 to 2 and 615, high demand, limited supply, and rising construction costs. Now, if you can buy a house, let's just say for 300 grand, $400,000, you can buy this property, and the land alone is worth 150. And today's construction cost, do you think, are, you know, maybe 200 bucks a foot, and it's 2,000 feet. You know, you might be looking at 400 grand just to rebuild that house, plus the value of the actual land itself. Maybe you're 500 grand for a new house. If you could buy that house for 300, right, many people would. Now, if the construction costs are going to continue to rise, and it's not going to be 200 bucks a foot, it might be 250, 275, you know, 5 years from now, it would make a lot more sense in hindsight to have bought that property. But what about homes that are even less than that? Well, inside of an affordability crisis, I think we're going to see a lot of people moving and changing locations because of affordability. So I think what we're seeing now with what Trump's saying, the Dow going from 50,000 to 100,000, what the CEO of Kellogg, Chipotle, and McDonald's saying happens next, I think we're walking into a whole new change of pattern and change of habits for a lot of Americans of how they live, where they invest, how they protect their retirements. We're walking into a huge shift. It also says that with significant regional variations, such as San Francisco, home values could hit an average of 2.6 million. While some estimates suggest more moderate 382, such as 2025 Redfin's analysis citing Yahoo Finance, some are saying 615, and they're saying in California, you could hit 1.2 million in specific cities like San Fran, right? Now, they also claim that because of tariffs, it's gonna raise construction costs between $17,500 and $18,500. Now, that's probably just on materials. As those costs go up, you're gonna have a harder time getting someone to go out there and work for 150 bucks a day, $200 a day, right? People are gonna want 300, 350, $400 a day. They're gonna want more and more money to build and to work on these properties, you know, 5 years from now than they are today. So all of this has to get taken into consideration for buying pre-existing single family homes, which I think will really get a lot of attention, because why single family? You get a 30-year fixed rate loan on a single family home. 5 units and above, you're buying that property with a commercial loan. You have to refinance it down the road. There's more risk on a commercial loan for most Americans that don't know what they're doing in commercial. But if you're buying a $300,000 house and you're putting 100 grand down and financing 200,000 at a fixed rate 6.5%, you know, you can have a clear indication of what your costs are going to be on a monthly basis, you know, excluding insurance, right? Now, what I find fascinating here is the direction that we're heading in. The tariff relief checks are becoming kind of normalized. They're saying Martin Luther King was, you know, promoting a universal basic income, and he was saying this in a 1967 book, saying that he advocated for a guaranteed annual income. Then you have The Hill magazine saying in January, about a week and a half ago, for years I opposed universal basic income firmly and reflexively. I treated it as a liberal fantasy, an invitation to idleness, a subsidy for stagnation, a sedative administrated by a bloated state. Work, I believe, wasn't merely how societies function, but how men and women found meaning. Pay people for nothing and you dissolve discipline. That was the story I told often. This position no longer survives contact with reality. Now, in April 13th, 2028, basic income will be worldwide by the 2030s. Now, you might say, like, look, that was 2018. You know, that's not going to happen. I believe that you see stuff like this mainstream, you know, 5 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago. There's something there, right? And you start to look at the shifts with the stimulus checks to tariff relief checks to inflation relief checks, to all these different checks that they were sending out in different cities, all these UBI pilot programs. I believe we're going to see the U.S. government inflate away their debt. They're going to continue to push rates down as much as they can. They're going to print a ton of money. The rich are going to get a lot richer. Those with a business plan, those that are buying hard real assets, they're going to be the ones that are going to win. I mean, when you see the CEO of McDonald's saying that their target consumer is a $100,000 a year earner, you're hearing the CEO of Chipotle saying the same thing. What does that say about where society is? I'm curious as to your thoughts on this entire situation. Let's have a conversation about this below. Please hit the like button, and I'll catch you next video.